Wolf Rub is the Halligan answer to bland food. Wolf Rub's special blend of spices, sugars, and salt is an award-winning barbecue rub that can be used right out of the shaker bottle on your table, too. Great on ribs, chicken, steaks, even popcorn and peanuts. Try the original Wolf Rub, a perfect blend of sweet and heat, or the new Wolf Rub Bold for an extra blast of flavor. Now available in small or large bottles, visit wolfrub.com to order. www.wolferub.com. Welcome to the Barbecue for You Show, the show where we talk about all things important to the world of barbecue. From big-name interviews to advice on cooking briskets and ribs, you'll find it right here on the Barbecue for You Show. If you're interested in learning more about barbecue, log on to our website at www.bbq-4-u.com. Get connected to the best forum on the Internet. And now, here's your program host, Greg Rempe.
Greetings from the barbecue capital of the North Coast, Cleveland, Ohio. Wherever you are across this great country of ours, certainly appreciate you taking the time to join me for another edition of the Barbecue for You Show. Today we'll be continuing our ongoing quest of talking with the pit manufacturers that are located across the country. And tonight I have a special guest who is the owner of the Carolina Grills. And his name is Mike Lau, and he joins me right now. Mike, thanks for taking the time out to talk to me this evening. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for calling.
Well, thanks for sitting down and talking with me a little bit tonight. Certainly, yeah. The pleasure's mine. Mike, if we could, before we start getting into the particulars of your barbecue pits, if you could give us a little background about yourself, maybe, you know, where you've grown up and your education and all that good stuff, and we'll go from there.
Well, basically, I'll just cut it short. Other than I grew up in Illinois, moved to South Carolina with some construction, and started doing welding about 93. So I started my own company then, and we incorporated in about 2003 and started into doing a little pit stuff there and kind of went from there. And, you know, we've been going strong for a good 10 years.
So the pit manufacturing is more of a spin-off of what your initial company is then?
Yeah. It actually started as a welding fabrication and doing industrial stuff. And then I had a customer come in the shop one day and ask me if I could do something. And it went from there, basically, and it's just like everybody else. We started with a 250-gallon drum and built a pit from there, and then word of mouth, and here we are today, complete fabrication of something different, you know. So it's just started from the same place as everybody else did, is a drum.
Now, did you have a background in barbecue, or, you know, were you bitten by a barbecue bug at some point in your past, or was it just a matter of somebody coming into your shop and saying, hey, Mike, you know, I know you weld, and could you possibly put a pit together for me?
That was basically how it started. Barbecue's always been around. I enjoyed eating it at the time, but until this customer come in, and he was a vendor-type person, and we started building it from there, and then that kind of got me hooked, and I said, well, you know, if I could build one, let's try something else. And he come back a couple more times. We built some different stuff, and other people had us, you know, trying to build some stuff, and then it grew from there, and I started kind of attending a few things here and there, and then kind of got hooked.
So at what point, Mike, do you think that the pit building is going to be a viable business for you?
Well, it's already starting to look pretty good. I've been, like I said, it's been 03, a couple years. No, actually, it's longer than that. And this is our first year that we're really coming out, and people are really acknowledging us, I think, and I'm taking a good many orders. Right now, we've got orders all the way into January still. So it's good. It's getting there. I'm a new company as far as a barbecue, and that's kind of where we started our Carolina Grills just this year. It got good enough that we felt like we needed to separate the welding and fabrication industry with the barbecue, and we got its own website and got its, you know, kind of its own name and everything, and making its own identity, and we're trying to go from there.
It's got to be tough. You know, obviously there's a number of manufacturers that are currently out there. Do you have Are you trying to get pits into competitors around the circuit? You know, I mean, what's the thought process behind trying to get, you know, the South Carolina grills out there and, you know, try and obtain some market share?
Well, we started with the catering, basically, industry, and got to be known for more of grills and catering events. And this last year, I stepped into trying to go after the competition side of stuff, getting these guys what they need to compete. Everybody that was seeing it was seeing that the gas, that we offer gas in all our units, and they were kind of shying away, so we really had to step it up this last year and go after what was the competition side of guys. And we've got several out there now. We've got a couple of good ones out there. We've got some teams that are looking at it, and that's really, really helping the cookers out. To just kind of get things out there and let people know that, hey, you know, this is hopefully going to be a good all-around unit, you know.
Do you find that your cookers at this point are more niche towards a catering side versus a competition side, or are you pretty much making them as either or convenient?
It started to be more towards the catering, but the last year and a half, we've really worked hard at trying to come into, you can cook with wood, charcoal, gas, whatever your flavor is, you know, for your cooking, or cook with all of them, actually, and trying to spell a couple myths about, I've heard people talk about, well, you can't cook with wood and gas at the same time, and we're kind of proving, you know, or adding to the theory, yeah, it's going pretty good, and we're hoping to really step into the competition side. There's so many great people and pit builders and you know, guys that are out there already doing this and have been doing this for so many years, and we know it's going to be tough to get into the market strong. We're just going to have to sit back and bide our time and give good quality work and, you know, put a product out there that works good and let people just see for themselves what's going on.
I'm glad you brought this up in your answer you just gave. You did mention that your cookers cook with pretty much the gamut of fuel options that anybody would have available to them. I've been on your website, and I see, you know, you have a couple big burners and a pit, and then you also have an offset firebox. And what's the what was the thought process behind doing that? Because really, that's kind of a big separator between what you're offering and what other pits in the market are doing.
You know, and that, I guess that's where we're trying to step it up, because there are so many different ways that we can go with this, and but yet you don't want to follow in the footsteps of somebody else, even though there are so many good pit makers out there. There's also so many good ideas too that we can try and come up with, and just different scenarios we're trying. And you know, we have evolved off the gas and with the wood, and it's just working out really well. And I think we're able to say, hey, you know, here's something different. We're going to try and corner our share of the market, and you know, we're gonna run with this and see how it goes. And I'm sure we've got so many other things that we're trying to work with and come up with. It's just going to be, you know, the next year or two is going to be a good year, a good time for us to show what we can do.
But you do make pits that, my thought right off the top of my head is, you have gas burners in that offset, or, you know, I mean, the in that barbecue. If you're mm-hmm. competing in a competition, you're not allowed to have, you know, you can use gas to light your fire, but ultimately you have to shut it off within a designated period of time. Otherwise, you're going to be disqualified. Do you make just regular wood-burning pits?
Actually, we do. What we do is, I was approached at one of the festivals. We were down showing the grills about 2 years ago, and a gentleman said he really liked the unit, but it was gas, and we had a firebox on the back. And not to get in an argument with him or anything, and he just said, you know, I like your pit, but I can't use it because we can't have gas. And one of the judges just happened to be walking by. I said, well, you know, we'll talk to him. So we asked him and said, look, you know, as long as you take the propane tanks off, he said, you can use the pit. At that time, there was no burner in the firebox. You basically lit your charcoal with the, however you would do it, torch, or what these guys are using. you know, and then you could cook straight off the firebox. So we do just this, you know, you can actually still have your burners in there, but still cook out of the firebox. You know, now we have put a couple burners in the firebox so they can start their charcoal or whatever. But right now you can do it all, you know, leave the burners in the bottom of the cooker and cook out of the firebox with your charcoal or your wood.
Now, your burners that are in your firebox, am I not to confuse that with what other manufacturers offer as like a gas assist?
The burners in the firebox is probably, it's just basically a tube to light. The other burners for cooking would be in the unit itself.
The main cooking chamber itself?
Yeah, in the main cooking chamber.
Gotcha.
So that is a complete separation. You've got your two 60,000 BTU burners in the cooker itself, and then you've got a small tube burner to light charcoal or wood that can be shut off.
If you could kind of give us a verbal diagram of how that would actually look. If I'm opening up the main cooking chamber door, obviously there's the expanded metal or whatever you're using to put the meat on.
Sure.
Looking underneath there, what am I looking at?
Basically what you're going to look at is, like I said, you'll have your cooking surface on your grates, and then once you step down below it, you're going to have a what the people call as a vapor bar or grease bar or whatever you want to call it, that's shielding the burners and to keep the grease from going onto the burners so we don't have any fires. And it'll slide off to the side and then go on down, you know, we've got a drain in it. And you can light your burners from the vents, or there's a couple different ways we light our burners. But once you look down through there, you're going to have a good open area, and then you'll have your vapor bar, and then down below that'll be your burners that are mounted to the below the cooking surface. And we've got grease prevention rings and stuff in there so it doesn't drip out, and everything's been kind of thought out on that so that we don't have grease coming out everywhere, because we still do come through the floor.
Right. Now, if somebody wants to impart a wood smoke flavor on that on the barbecue that they're making, are they then building a fire on the firebox side of it too, while also using the burners that are in the main cooking chamber?
Yeah, they can do that. They can start with what I normally do when I'm cooking with them is I'll start some charcoal, and depending on how much smoke we're going to put in or whatever we're going to do, it depends on how much charcoal I put in. But you start with your chimney. Put your chimney in there and put you some wood on it, or wet wood. You get your smoke rolling. You can turn your burners on. You know, and I'm getting old, and I like to go to bed at night. So, and that's kind of the philosophy behind this thing is I'll get the wood in, you know, get the woods going, everything, and I'll set my temperature once my wood burns out after 3 or 4 hours. You know, or you can cook all night with it if you feel froggy. You know, help yourself. But once that burns out, then you're set at whatever your cooking temperature, 220, 250, 300. You know, wherever you'd like to be, you can still do that and then go to bed. You know, and then in the morning you get up and it's still going to be at the same temperature.
How are you regulating the temperature then? Is it just a kind of a clockwork of the handle on a gas thing, or do you actually have like knobs that are going to tell you what temperature you're going to be at?
Well, you've got your regulators, and we've got basically two inline valves that adjust your burner. And once you get it set, we put the Tell True thermometers in. We've seemed to have pretty good luck with them. Once you get it regulated to where you want to go, like I said, you can lift the lid and shut it down. I've been able to be real repetitive. I mean, within a couple, you know, percentages of either where I want to go, you know. So it's been real, real accurate, and we're getting good, like I want to call it fuel economy out of a tank.
Right.
We can take one burner and burn it at 220, and you're going to get about 14 to 16 hours worth of burn time out of that one tank.
Out of a 20-pound tank?
Out of a 20-pound tank.
Wow.
So, and like I said, it's doing real, real well. It's been proving itself over and over and over again. And like I said, the unit itself is real repetitive. We can lift the lid, we can put it back down, and we're going back to our temperatures.
Well, I'm not old, but I guess I'm lazy, so this
well,
sounds...
that's good. Yeah.
But it sounds like I just don't have a great desire to continually feed a firebox every, you know, hour, hour and a half to keep temperature up.
Sure.
But I would like to, at the same time, be able to produce, you know, smoke to put over the meat. So what's your biggest unit that you have, and how many people could that in ballpark terms, how many people could that feed?
Well, the biggest actual grill we're building is about a 6 foot long by 3 foot wide, and that's about the biggest unit. The standards are 3 foot by 5 foot, and they go down. We go down to like 2 by 3, and you know, pretty much we're trying to be open so that if a customer comes in and had a special, would try and you know accompany that however would be good for him. But the normal standard, I guess you would say, is we can do a 3x6, 3x5, a 2x3. You know, we've got different sizes. As far as the normal, which is our standard 3x5, you're looking at about 20 butts on the cooking space. And I like to use the butts because it's so universal. Everybody understands what the butt is, you know,
right.
the ham or however you want to call it. And they've got a good idea what size that is.
Right, you're looking at, you know, 7 or 8. Pound piece of meat.
Sure.
So, yeah, absolutely.
You know, like I said, you can get a good 20 on there and still have a little bit of space in there. So, you know, I always, you know, like to say, you know, once you figure that, here's what you got to do. And so many people figure it per pound, what they're serving and stuff. But I can tell them, say, you know, you figure off this, you got 20 butts up here, or, you know, go from there.
Now, I know we've kind of discussed it a little bit in some of the previous answers, but if you could kind of give me your thoughts on why the South Carolina grills are different, or maybe what sets your particular units apart from what's existing out there.
Sure. Well, I mean, we're trying to keep it in a kind of a nice compact unit. And then, like I said, we are offering the gas, the wood, the charcoal, different scenarios that we can all do in one unit. And there's, like I said, there's so many different grills out there at this time, and that was one thing that I was really surprised at when I started getting serious about it and just searching this, how many pits and stuff there actually really was, because I thought, man, I don't know a lot about this at that time, and I thought, how many could there be? Well, there's a good many out there. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And they're coming up, and everybody's coming out every day. There's somebody new. You know, I feel like me personally, I've got some people that I know, you know, that are pretty good friends with Stumps and some other people, and you know, I feel like we're chasing these big guys. These guys have been doing it for a while. I know Stumps is about 2 years, you know, really, really getting with it. And you know, you got Close and the Austin Cookers and the Lang and stuff, and you know, these guys have been doing it, and these guys are awesome because they come up with some really cool stuff early on, you know, and they're inspirations. So, you know, chasing these guys and trying to come out and say, hey, look, we've got something new here. You know, hopefully it's going to get people's attention, and it's doing what it's supposed to do, and we're having good, you know, quality work rolling out of here and good product. That's the only thing that we're going to be able to, you know, stand back and say, hey, you know, we've got something different, you know, and you guys hopefully will take notice and say, yeah, hey, this is something that's got one or a little of everything in it.
From that first customer giving you his initial order, saying, hey, Mike, is this something you think you could do? If we're kind of removing him from the equation and now we're looking at you saying, okay, I'm going to put a pit together, mm-hmm. and, you know, this is from thinking like that and then going to a point where you're actually comfortable introducing something like this into the market, what kind of a time frame were you looking at?
Something brand new. I kind of held back with these and didn't really go after it till I understood the propane side and was able to make that work, because to me that could be a good thing and it could be a bad thing, because after 9/11 insurance companies really cracked down on us about the burners that we were making. We don't build our burners anymore. We buy them, and we have to buy them. So you know that puts a dependency on a vendor, you know, because we just we have to depend on other people because of the industry. And once you get that stuff set in place, you're looking at maybe a year, you know, for when I'm comfortable for it.
Right.
But once and now we're introducing new things every day. We just built some other warmer ovens and stuff that was a little bit different than what the industry's used to. These have a gas burner in them. It was about a probably a 2 month deal that I felt comfortable with that stuff.
Now, aside from the barbecue pits, some of the other manufacturers are offering, other accessory pieces. Do you, aside from your grills, are you offering anything else that the general public might look to consume?
Yeah, we're trying to accommodate everybody. We're offering some, the basic. The guy comes in, says, "I want some storage box. I'd like some external burners, some deep fryer stuff, And we're trying to work with people on that and put that out. Some extra storage racks, the normal rib rack holders, the extra storage racks. You've got all that stuff there. If a customer really has a specific request, we'll be glad to sit down and say, "Hey, can we do this? Is this going to be feasible to do?" And if it is, then we'll do it. Try and help the customer. But we've got some basic, I guess you could call them add-ons, out there, and we go from there.
You could just kind of briefly bring us through. Somebody's interested, they're going to give Mike a call. What's your basic order process that you would go through from start to finish?
Well, basically, they can either get a hold of me, from the website. Our website has a info or a request page, and they could fill out the information and send that to me, which would go to the email, or they could give us a call. Once we sit down and we finalize the order, and they basically write a check for a deposit, it goes on the books, and from that time when it goes on the books, you're looking at about 2 to 3 weeks, depending on what they're asking. If it's a standard grill, you're looking at about a week and a half to 2 weeks. Right now we're starting our orders for January. So if a person was to call me today and said, "Mike, let's dot the line," he'd go on the books, and by the end of second or third week in January, he would have his pit. So we're keeping up with it pretty good right now. So once we get rolling next year, hopefully we'll stay on top of it. We won't get, behind. Well, we may lag a little bit, one or two, but it's we'll do our best.
Well, it seems like anybody that's, even halfway successful in pit building right now is in some type of, backorder situation. So it's probably not such a bad thing to have.
No, it's actually a good thing.
Being a smaller and newer pit manufacturer, do you have to fight maybe a new or a different set of battles as far as raw materials are concerned than some of the other more established companies?
Yeah, well, luckily, because I've been in the business for 10 years, I've got my own steel companies and stuff that are working with me, and they're pretty good to work with. I've got one guy, set of guys that, trailer distributors and steel guys that just I can pick up the phone today and say, "Hey, I need material, and it's here." They're real good. They've been easy to work with. We try and do what we can do to get a hold of the stuff. Now, we're not buying in the bulk, say like Dave Close is, but when we get up a set of orders, we'll go ahead and order enough for 10 pits and go from there. So once we get it, we do have it, and I don't let it get to about maybe 4 pits left, and it's like, "Hey, I'm picking a phone up going, we need some more material." So I do, and right now it's just the struggle of getting out there and being new, and introducing ourselves.
Do you offer delivery of your pits, or once it's done, do you have to get down to you and trailer it back?
No, well, right now we've had a lot of people, and I've heard this, matter of fact, in a couple of your other interviews, that people like to come down to your shop and see what it is all about. What's going on? How's it going together? Where's it going together at? And they like to come down and just, I think, talk with you. And I try and make myself very available. My phone number is my cell phone. That's the business phone.
Right.
I have it with me 24/7. So basically, if a person wants to get a hold of me, all they've got to do is pick up the phone, call me, and I'm there. We've put out almost, in the last 6 months, we've put right at 25 pits, I think, right now, and we're growing pretty fast, and people are starting to see it. So they're liking to be able to get in touch with you and say, "Hey, sit down, talk, let you know what's going on." But as far as the shipping, if we need to, we could put it in a crate and we'll send it to, you know, California, wherever we go. I try to work with a customer. I don't make it a habit, but we will deliver it to you. You know, I'll bring it to you or whatever. Or, you know, I'll work with however they got to do it. Being that we are so new, and it's just nice to be able to move stuff. And like I said, if a person wants me to bring it to them, I can bring it to them. If they want to ship it, we'll ship it. Or if they just want to come down here and have a cup of coffee or whatever and sit around the shop, they're more than welcome to.
My memory is failing me at the given moment. Are you making also like backyard type models versus just trailers?
Yes.
Okay.
We are. Don't feel bad. My memory fails me all the time, but we do. We make a what we call our patio model, which is a 2x3. It's got a small offset smoker box in it. It's got a tray above it. It's got a set of wheels on it for roll around. It's got a little tank holder, and you know, it's got the little shelves on it for store, you know, putting your stuff, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's on our website, and it'll be on the patio. Or I can't remember how we got it right now, but it's the patio model, and you'll see it. It holds about 10 butts on it, just so that people get an idea.
Yeah, that's a pretty decent size.
Well, like I said, it's 2x3. That's about the smallest we've made right now. So I'm not like Dave. I haven't made one from handheld.
Yeah, right.
Maybe one day, but not right now.
Out of all the sizes that you're offering, is there a particular one that seems to be the most popular at this point? I know you're, you know, within the last 6 months, you're averaging just a shade over 4 pits per month.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see one that's similarly kind of, you know, taking on the same shape and form through the shop?
Yeah. Our 5x3 or 3x5, however you want to call it, I always get stuff backwards, but that particular size seems to be a very, very popular size. Like I said, you're looking at, it's on a small trailer. It's only 40 inches wide as the frame of the trailer, and you're only about 10, 11 feet long overall. That's with the cooker and the storage and stuff like that. So we're fitting a pretty good amount of stuff in a nice compact area. And people are really seem to be liking the smallness or the compact ability to pull around, move around, and get into some of the spots, which just being able to do some of the festivals, it's not like you've got a lot of space sometimes too for these guys that are doing competition. You know, you might get a 10x20 or 10x10, you know, area that you're going to try and put a big rig in. So this is kind of working out well, really good for them too.
Like, how do people want to get in touch with you if they want to find out more about Carolina Grills, or if they want to get some consultation on looking for something for themselves?
Well, what they can do is either contact us on the website, which is, you know, www.carolinagrills.com. They can go to the info page or just kind of browse through there, or they can call me at 864-505-1726, which is my cell. Like I said, it's my cell phone. I keep it with me all the time. It's the business phone. Or email me at lowwelding@bellsouth.net, and I'll be glad to sit down and talk with everybody, you know, however they want to do it. You know, our biggest thing, Greg, is just we're not the best out there, and we may not be the most, I don't know how you know, we don't have the big names with us, but, you know, I believe if people will give us a chance and look at the unit, you know, itself. And matter of fact, what I do, just to kind of run off our course here, is a lot of times once a person gets real serious about checking out the grills and they're about to sign the dotted line, what I like to do is say, hey, take the unit and take it home if they're close enough or able to, and smoke it over. That's what we're doing right now with some of these barbecue teams. We're giving it to them and saying, here, go out, try it, and then come back and talk to me and tell me the goods and bads and the the pros and cons, and go from there.
Well, it's certainly, especially if you're close enough to do that, certainly more than fair to be able to, like you said, smoke it over. And that's probably only going to help your cause, and obviously that's something you want to do too. So.
Sure.
Mike Lau is the owner of Carolina Grills, and Mike, certainly want to thank you for taking the time out tonight to talk to me about all the ins and outs of a new pit builder coming up and hopefully expanding into the big names of the pit manufacturers. So thanks for doing that, and good luck in the future.
Sure, it's been a pleasure, Greg, and I appreciate the time.
Take care, Mike.
All right, bud.
So again, a big thank you to Mike Lau for coming on and talking with us this evening. Again, if you're interested in getting more information about Carolina Grills, you can visit his website at www.carolinagrills.com. You can also call Mike directly on his cell phone at 864-505-1726. Again, that's 864-505-1726. And you can also send Mike an email at lauwelding@bellsouth.net. And Lau is spelled L-A-U. Hey, guess what, folks? That's the podcast, and I am out of here.
Wolf Rub is the Hallengut answer to bland food. Wolf Rub's special blend of spices, sugars, and salt is an award-winning barbecue rub that can be used right out of the shaker bottle on your table, too. Great on ribs, chicken, steaks, even popcorn and peanuts. Try the original Wolf Rub, a perfect blend of sweet and heat, or the new Wolf Rub Bold for an extra blast of flavor. Now available in small or large bottles, visit wolfrub.com to order. www.wolferub.com.